The managing director of Whispering Palms in Badagry, Mimi Adeodiachi. Good to have you on the show. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Lagos, I want to hear from you as well. What questions do you have for Mimi about the hospitality industry or the hotel business in Badagry in particular? Women call me on 01465-7190. Men call me on 0700-993-993-993. Okay. Now, Mimi, first of all, tell us about Whispering Palms. Where are you located? What services do you offer?
Okay, Whispering Palms is located in, we call it Olorunda Local Government, but the nearest big town to it is Badagry.
Okay.
So it's like off the expressway, about 20-minute drive off the expressway.
Hmm.
And it's a resort. We have 122 rooms. We have dining facilities.
122 rooms?
122
That's
rooms.
Massive, okay.
So we have dining. It's just recreation. We are lagoon facing,
okay,
not ocean facing.
Okay.
So you can, we have pedal boats. You can take a pedal on the lagoon. But most people just want to sit down and look at the water.
Okay.
And just relax. And enjoy the wind, mm-hmm, the breeze, mm-hmm, from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, we are between the... We have the beach, then we have a peninsula,
mm-hmm,
then we have the lagoon, okay, and then we have Whispering Palms.
Ah.
So we actually enjoy the ocean breeze.
Okay. So it's a resort.
It's a resort.
Hmm.
Children's playground, swimming pools,
mm-hmm,
you know, anything you want to do in a resort is there.
How long has it been around? Tell us the history of Whispering Palms.
Okay, so Whispering Palms was actually started by my parents, Professor and Mrs. Femi Pierce.
Oh.
And they were looking for, we are Lagosians.
Okay.
So everybody, during vacations, everybody would travel to their village,
mm-hmm,
for, you know, festive occasions. And we didn't have a village.
Oh. Well, Lagos is your village.
So we found a village place.
Okay.
My dad wanted it to be near the water.
Okay.
We used to go to Cotonou a lot, but okay, the border issues, we would spend hours at the border.
Mm.
So we now started looking for land this side of town,
mm,
that was water facing,
mm-hmm,
where we could like have, you know, just downtime as a family. And mm-hmm, then it's, you know, that was how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And then people now started asking for rooms they could stay.
Okay.
And then we kept on, you know,
adding rooms. Okay.
And adding rooms and adding rooms.
Until now we're at 122.
Until we're 122.
How long has it been around?
It's been around for about 38 years now.
Oh my. You've been in business for 38 years.
I was not in business.
Okay. The Whispering Palms has been in business for 38 years.
About 38.
It's pretty impressive.
I was a student when it started. So we were all, it was a family effort. So
okay,
we would work there,
okay,
help to pick up stones, you know, just do anything that needed doing.
Okay.
And when my dad now retired and later passed on,
mm-hmm,
when he retired, actually,
mm-hmm,
he passed the business,
mm-hmm,
on to me to,
mm-hmm,
run.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that.
Running it for how long?
It would be like 7 years now.
Okay.
Yes.
So which brings me to the next subject. You know, your dad passed it on to you to run, but I mean, what else happened there? How did you end up becoming the MD of the resort in Badagry?
Okay, so he passed it on to me to run, but the hotel business was not my thing. I have another family business that I also help to run.
Okay.
And it was okay when the economy was stable.
Okay.
But COVID struck.
Mm-hmm.
So we were struggling because it's an aging resort.
Mm.
The road has been very bad.
Okay.
So because of the road, we had dwindling business.
Mm.
And people were reluctant to come by boat because we do have a jetty.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get there from anywhere in Lagos by water.
Mm-hmm.
But people are not confident about traveling by
boat. Water, right.
And the road is bad.
Right.
So that really started affecting the business. And you know, with hotel business, you have a lot of 122 rooms, a lot of maintenance costs. So as business dwindled, you know, to maintain things was difficult. But we are actually revamping the place now. So that's how it's been. It's been a challenge, but an interesting one.
Okay.
Because every time I want to give up, you know, I remember my dad's passion, and it kind of like keeps me going. And his vision, because he shared his vision a lot, because I used to go there a lot and would sit down together, and he would share, you know, his dreams for the place and what he wanted.
What was his vision? What were his dreams for the
place?
His
dreams were like a resort that Nigerians could enjoy, and not like even high class Nigerians. So I'd say Whispering Palms is a 3-star resort, you know, where your middle income earner could come with his family and have a good time. We also noticed that children don't have a much recreation space in Lagos.
Right.
And when they come to Whispering Palms, they go wild because there's space, there's sand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they can run around. And it's one place that parents can leave their children to just run free. And, you know, children need that path to be able to run free, to be able to play, just run around, you know, crazily, and it helps their development, and they don't have space to do that in Lagos anymore.
Right,
you know, you it's not safe. You can't send you can't even send your child on an errand alone anymore. So that was what his vision was, that people would be able to afford to come to this place with their families, you know, have a familycation, you know, and just bond, you know, with their family, you know, no house help, no distractions, and really know, you know, how their children think, have conversations over the dinner table without devices, you know, and just get to know themselves again, spend time together, and, you know, just come out refreshed and, you know, fit for use, fit for purpose.
It sounds like a beautiful dream. But you have a business like this, and it's in Lagos. And I'm sure that there are other businesses within that axis of Lagos as well. Why has it not inspired successive administrations to do something about the access roads?
Okay. You know, the Badagry Express Road, I think, is a federal road. Because that's the road that actually leads out of Lagos to Seme. So I think there's been this shuffle between the federal government and
the state government.
So now then we have the road from the junction of the express road, which is called Aradagun, down to Whispering Palms. That the government has done. You know, at least that is a good road. And Lagos state government, I must commend them, have actually built up that road. Even there was a marshy part. There's a flyover there to bypass, because we used to have a lot of road damage there because it was low lying. So they constructed a small bridge over that swamp. And so the road from the junction to Whispering Palms is okay. It is the expressway that is bad. So it's just like a 20-minute journey that is okay out of, you know, a journey that used to be 1 hour. You know, from Ikoyi to Badagry. Used to be 1 hour. Now, 3 hours, 5 hours, you can't predict.
Wow. And people are simply too afraid to use the water. You know, and I do imagine that it could be part of the whole experience. You know, you'll take a boat ride for an hour, take a proper vacation, and then come back via the boat.
To be quite honest with you, I mean, I have not been on that road in a year. And why I love going by boat is that you wouldn't realize that Lagos is so green, because you see the mangroves on both sides. You know, the lagoon is not that wide. So you see the mangroves on both sides, and it is just so green. It is so rich. It is so lush. You know, and it's the boat ride itself is calming. You know, but, you know, fear is not rational.
And there are no horns.
No horns.
No exhaust fumes. It's just you on the boat. But yeah, fear is not rational. Now, I mentioned COVID and how it affected occupancy levels and and hotel revenues. How was that experience for you guys? What did you guys do to cope during COVID?
Well, we had to let go of staff. We had to furlough staff. You know, we just had to re-strategize and let go. We let go about 50% of our staff, and we haven't even rehired them because
the business, haven't recovered.
No, we haven't. You know, so that was what we did. We let go a lot of staff, and then we streamlined. So we say we have 122 rooms, but during COVID, we actually like shut down some rooms because we knew we were not going to get 122 people. So we just concentrated our revenue on our best rooms, a few rooms, and then power is always an issue. So you find out that even when you have just one guest,
mm-hmm.
you have to put on the generator because mm-hmm. we have about 20 hours of power a week.
Okay. A week?
A week.
A week?
Okay, let me give you an example. I got the NEPA bill
mm-hmm.
For me,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
For a resort of 122 rooms,
mm-hmm.
my bill was 74,000.
Oh, my.
So that just tells you that there was no power.
Oh, my. Wait, so is 74,000 high or low?
It's low for 122 rooms.
Rooms, yeah.
For a resort of that size.
Yeah. It's pretty low.
It's low. It's negligible.
Hmm. 20 hours in a week.
Yeah.
So which means that every single day you're running on...
Every day.
Fuel? Diesel?
Diesel.
Diesel.
Every day.
Hmm.
So we have started some initiatives. Like now we're trying to replace our ACs with inverter ACs because you don't need such a high startup compressor load.
Mm.
So we can scale down on the size of generator.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a smaller generator, then it's smaller diesel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've bought smaller generators. So even if we have like three guests in the room,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to put on a big guzzler,
to
accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we're also now thinking of mm-hmm. we're about to implement like a solar program in scale so that we can just manage. Mm-hmm. So the outlay initially is going to be much, but if in the long run, because I don't see this power issue being solved immediately,
right?
So in the long run it's going to pay off.
Mm.
We have a vision of being like the first green hotel
mm-hmm.
in West Africa. We are being forced to do this.
To do that. Lagos, if you just tuned in, hello to you. Good evening. This is the business segment on Hard Facts. And today we're taking a look at the hospitality industry. We're looking at how the economy is affecting the hospitality industry. And on Balogun and Broad, we talk to real business people about the issues in the news and how it affects them and their businesses and the people who work for these businesses. And we have the managing director of Whispering Palms in Badagry on the show with us, Mimi, that's her name. And she's talking to us about, the hospitality business. She's talking to us about Whispering Palms. She's talking to us about how they do what they do and the costs of doing what they do. And I'm glad that you've brought up diesel, because that's the big thing on everybody's minds these days. Even petrol stations are saying that they massive are increasing pump price because they use diesel generators to run the pumps. You run a resort, that means that you've just, like you said, you need to keep the lights on. The diesel prices, how are they affecting your bottom line? How are they affecting
Sandra, I don't want to think about it. Diesel is now 800 naira per liter.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous because in a month, we spend over 1 million naira on diesel. And I cannot say that we have earned 1 million naira, And even if we have earned 1 million naira, we have to pay salaries,
mm-hmm.
we have to
maintenance,
a lot of maintenance
mm-hmm.
work,
mm-hmm.
we have to replenish our stock in food, mm-hmm. in drinks,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not adding up.
Mm.
It really isn't adding up, but we look at it and we are like, what is going to make us, it's something that, it's a conversation. I talk to my management
mm-hmm.
all the time, and it's a conversation that we are afraid to have because it doesn't make sense.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense because at 800 naira per liter, from in January, it was it 200 and something?
Mm-hmm.
Naira
mm-hmm.
to 800
mm-hmm.
with no corresponding increase in business.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cost of food, everything has increased.
Right.
And people are very price sensitive.
Right.
So you are wary about increasing your rates.
Mm-hmm.
If it was the kind of business that, if I'm buying this at 800 naira,
mm.
I'm going to raise my rates so that...
It matches.
It matches.
Mm-hmm.
But people can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult.
How do you keep your doors open? How do you stay motivated? How are you still in this business?
I don't know.
That's the most honest answer I've ever heard in my life. Lagos, but you can join the conversation 0700-993-993-993, 01465-7190. Let me tell, gonna say something.
Let me tell you what I do, how I manage it.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time. Just enough light for the step I am on right now. Today, I can buy diesel.
Mm-hmm.
I can meet my costs. I can pay salaries.
Mm-hmm.
I can replenish my stock. I can do some repairs. We are getting very creative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of renovation,
right?
You know, just to make the place, because an aging resort is
right.
old.
Yeah.
So we are painting. We're doing, and you know, I have to say it's just by the grace of God, because I can't tell you how we are doing it,
yeah.
but we are doing it.
Doing it. Oh, but I have to ask about strategy, right? For the food in particular. Because, I mean, you just mentioned that food prices have gone up and it is a huge issue. It's huge overhead costs for a hotel or a resort. So what are the strategies that you've put in place to mitigate the cost of food?
Portions. So, you know, reduce portions, just make sure that the food is tasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be much.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
and I think with the food, we've done quite well, because people actually, we had a problem at a time,
mm-hmm.
we didn't have a good chef,
mm-hmm.
but now people have started commending the food, it's tasty,
mm-hmm.
and then just portions. And then where we have to, for instance, proteins
mm-hmm.
have gone through the roof,
mm-hmm.
and where we've had to adjust prices. We've just had to adjust prices.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got Lagos joining the conversation. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Good to have you on the show.
My name is Fred.
Hi, Fred. Welcome.
Yeah. You see, the situation is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I am just imagining how Madame is sustaining that business.
Mm.
You see, I was just putting myself in a position that if I'm in a position, probably I will have packed up.
Yeah.
Because I run a law business.
Okay.
Unfortunately, in March, we just moved to our permanent office. And in moving there, we were able to install inverter, solar energy, all that. You understand? Before this diesel issue started. So I was just asking myself that, I do think we don't have this inverter and solar. How would we have been able to cope? Because the office is such that we need electricity 24 hours,
mm-hmm.
at least for the time they're going to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Right.
And so, compared to our own business, that she would need electricity 24/7.
Right.
I'm just imagining how she's coping. And that is exactly what many businesses are going through in the country today. And look at what is happening today now. Sooner than later, we'll probably be buying diesel for 1,500. Meaning that you are going to be buying 2 liters of diesel for 3,000 naira. It is just unimaginable.
It is a lot to think about, isn't it? 99.3, hello.
Yeah, hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, Baba G.
Baba G. Yeah. Baba G is from Badagry. Hi, Baba G.
Yeah, thank God. I want to greet the director of Whispers Farm there.
Okay.
I greet you, sir.
Good evening,
we
sir.
Live on the same as.
And
when you mention, I've not visited the hotel once.
Okay.
But honestly, I'm hearing about the hotel, the standard hotel of that nation. And you mention something that get me scared, that you spend ₦1 million every month for diesel.
Over a million.
And one thing about hotel business, you must put on power every day, whether you have the customer or not. So, Sandra, my fear here, I don't know, God forbid, is like Nigeria is packing up the way things are going. And you are talking about talking about access road.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God they are doing the road down, but that expressway, one lane set. But there's another important road you've not mentioned.
Okay.
That of Okwafo down to Mo. You know, the community there is more than 50. If you can be able to link that access road to that of Aradago, you will have more customers there. I pray the state government should listen to this program.
Thank you very much for calling, Baba G. We've got Samson Ochonogo who says, please tell your guests to work hard to make the road from the express to the place fine. That makes more people to go there. It's a beautiful place. I've been there 3 times to sell ice cream of the company I work for. Oh wow. Okay. This one's pushing their business. They want to sell you ice cream. Please buy their ice cream.
But it's not my... The road is not my... I have enough on my plate.
Yeah, you know, you can't start fixing roads too.
I have more than enough on my plate.
Oh, my. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Hi.
Sandra.
Now being recorded.
Hello. Hello. Good to have you on the show. What's your name? Oh, that's unfortunate. You're not there anymore. 99.3, hello?
Hello.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Yes.
Yes, welcome. You're live on the show. You're talking to Sandra. What's your name, sir?
Am I allowed to remain anonymous?
Oh, that's fine. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, basically, when they're saying that there is no basis of saying why we can discuss with Peter Obi. We are
you're calling the wrong station. 99.3. Hello.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. What's your name, ma'am?
This is your town crier. How are you, baby?
I'm very well. Nonya, is that you?
Yes, now, baby. Long time now.
Long time. I've been waiting for you since I came back from my leave.
Yeah. What did you bring for me? Like, seriously.
What did I bring for you? Rice and, diesel. I brought diesel.
You didn't think what you bring for me. I don't bring anything. No worry. Yeah, I understand.
No, yeah. I have to take a break, but thank you very much for calling. I have a very interesting message here from Bawo. Bawo is in Ikorodu, but I'm going to read that message when we come back from this break. It's a message that I wonder what the MD of Whispering Palms would say. We've got Mimi on the show with us, and she's talking to us about the hospitality business and how the current economy is affecting that. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Balogun and Broad is a realest business show on the radio. It gives you access to real businesses, real people who work for these businesses, who own these businesses, and they tell you how the issues in the news affect these businesses. Don't go away. Who's talking to us about the hospitality business, right? The road to recovery since COVID-19, because I remember I told you before the break that Business Day says hospitality businesses in Nigeria experienced a 59% revenue loss in 2020 because of COVID-19, lockdowns, travel restrictions, all of that. And it's global, it's globally, right? But this is the Nigerian data from 2020. Now, away from COVID, you have inflation, you have the price of diesel, and we've been talking about all of that with the managing director of Whispering Palms. Whispering Palms is in Badagry. Whispering Palms has been around for 38 years. It was initially owned by her parents, and now she's running it and has been running it for quite a few years now. And she's been talking to us about some of the challenges and some of the strategies that they've had to deploy to handle the difficulties that come with running a resort. Her name is Mimi Ade Odiachi. Thank you so much again for staying with us. Now, we got a comment here on WhatsApp, and I did promise I was going to read it before before we went on that break. I said, when we come back, I'll read the comment. So this one's from Bawo in Ikorodu. He says, Sandra, I can only imagine your pain, ma. I can't imagine how you sleep. But in terms of revenue, you need to push the place to be attractive to video directors, lifestyle bloggers and influencers, young couples, corporate packages as well. Like when people my age, under 30, think honeymoon, they should think Whispering Palms, like a cool convention center is for concerts. You're doing very, very well, ma. Amazingly well. Bawo from Ikorodu.
Thank you so much. Thank you for those kind comments. And your suggestions are noted. We have, interestingly, we have a lot of couples who have had their honeymoon in Whispering Palms and have now gone on to like bring their children.
Aww.
So we have people that, you know, regular customers. And about the spreading the news and putting the information out there, you're very correct. So after COVID, you know, we, like I said, we've been doing a lot of renovations. You all know that COVID was like almost like 2 years of, or let me say one solid year of very bad business. Mm. And when you have that kind of situation with rooms, you find out that the rooms are musty. You need to do a thorough clean. So we are just, you know, professionally cleaning each room, changing ACs. Some of the rooms even had, you know, box TVs.
Mm.
You know, we've had to change those. And of course, all that takes money,
mm.
you know, which we're trying to manage. So we are coming back, you know, gradually
mm-hmm.
and organically.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry, you'll soon be hearing a lot of noise about our Whispering Farms, I can assure you.
Okay. Samson says that you need to plead with the government to work on the roads. That he's been there. It's a beautiful place. I don't know why people think you're a man. She's a woman. Her name is Mimi. I've been saying that.
Maybe the voice.
We've got this message here that says, Sandra, we've been to Whispering Palms as a family over 9 years ago. I tell you, it was a beautiful and calm place. It's a full package. We loved the experience. And one of my little children asked if we would live there. Easter weekend, I wished to visit again, but my husband refused due to the bad road network. I wonder how many families are like this
woman. The road is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, the road is a big deal because you want to go somewhere and relax.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to start your vacation by not being able to estimate the time it will take you to get there. Like I said, when the road was good, it used to be 1 hour.
Mm.
Now, 3 hours, you know, it's better. Mm-hmm. It's better than it was.
Okay.
But it's still
terrible.
It's still not good.
Mm.
You know.
Apart from the road and apart from power and food, and I can't even believe I'm saying apart from, because, like, you know, that I shouldn't be aparting from, you know?
What else? Well, you see, we are also, you know, anybody in the hospitality industry
mm-hmm.
will tell you that there's also pilferage.
Hmm.
Pilferage, you know, funny tactics with revenues, you know, staff just not being honest. And it's unfortunate because the more challenging the economy gets,
mm-hmm.
the more temptation, you know, the staff will have,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it just means putting stringent controls
mm-hmm.
in place, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to ensure that.
Yeah, but how do you monitor food, for instance? Like, someone pilfers cups of rice or some cubes of seasoning or some pieces of pepper. How do you monitor that?
You try your best to, you just try your best. When I say you try your best, it's like, you know that a bag of rice should serve how many covers? You know, so when you start having those kind of shortages, you now know that you have
a problem, right?
And then you start trying to get to the root
mm-hmm.
of the problem. In Whispering Palms, and most hospitality places I know do feed their staff. So we have like a staff canteen,
okay,
where I think we guarantee them one meal when they're on duty,
okay,
so just to help
mm-hmm.
you know, and make sure that they're not hungry on duty and mm-hmm. they get a good, you know, a standard meal
mm-hmm.
you know, while they're on duty. Mm-hmm. But it's a problem in the hospitality, across the hospitality
industry.
Mm.
And the hospitality industry relies heavily on customer service. But in Nigeria, we know that there's a major problem with the culture around customer service.
I don't even know if it's the culture or because if you look at us individually from homes, we are hospitable people.
Mm.
You know, if I come to your house,
mm-hmm.
at least you will offer me a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. That's how I grew up, you mm-hmm. know. So we are hospitable people. So I don't understand how we cannot extend that hospitality to the industry.
Mm.
Do you understand?
That's a great point.
There's a gap, and I don't know. So I attribute it to maybe frustration. You know, and then a lot of people are in jobs they're not passionate about.
Mm.
They're in jobs because this is what I could get.
Yeah.
Not because this is what I want to do
right.
with my life.
Right.
There's a big difference.
Right.
So when you're in a job that maybe you're a waiter or you are a receptionist, you know, front desk officer, you know, you are not welcoming. And it's a problem we have. People are angry. So the guest comes in, you're not even smiling. You're not even, you know, how was your day? You know that this guest has spent like 3 hours
on the road, on trying the road, to get here.
Trying to get here. And, you know, you are now greeting the person with a frown. How? You know, how? You know, it doesn't add up.
So how do you, as a hospitality business, ensure that your quality of customer service remains high?
Well, we train. We make sure that we keep... there's some people that are natural. You know, I have a manager in Whispering Palms. He's been there for years, over 30 years.
Oh.
Mr. Issa is... welcoming, you know, he just has that mien, very calm, very welcoming, you know, so he has that. So, you know, we tell him to train the people, his subordinates, to just, you know, just produce mini Issas.
Good luck, Issa. So what's next for you at Whispering Palms? Oh, what do you have planned for the future?
We are quite excited about the future, you know. So we're, like I said, we want to become the first green, when I say green, hotel in West Africa, that means that our power is going to be generated with solar, stop using fossil fuels, or use fossil fuels as little as possible.
Okay.
So we're looking at solar. We're looking at how to, we're looking at compost heaps, you know, using our food, waste food to do feed meals. We have fish farms that, you know, are defunct. We're trying to bring them back, you know, so that people can come and actually have like fresh fish. Or even if you don't want, if you don't like fresh fish, if you don't like that kind of fish, you can actually see, you know, one. Children have not seen, you know, fish farms. They don't know where fish. Then we have a mini zoo in Whispering Palms with just a few animals. We are trying to increase that so that when children come, they can see, you know, we have like, we have, we want to have like a petting zoo where children can actually interact
with the animals.
With the animals, you know, a lot of city kids don't get that, opportunity. And then we're also reviving the gardens, you know, and making sure that when you come, you can see, we want to have a section of cash crops that Nigeria used to export, cocoa, rubber, oil palm, so that children or visitors can see these things live without having to go to Delta State to see an oil palm or Ondo State to see cocoa, you know. So these are things, because it's also, we also want to make it a very educational experience for children. And of course, play, you know, loads of play, more bouncy castles, more things to keep children entertained and play.
Are you looking for investors?
Well, initially, when people would ask me, because people would go and see that the place was aging and some things were not, you know, modern, and they would ask, you know, you need money, you know, and I tell people that money is nothing without management. So I would tell them that, yes, I need money. I know I need money. But first of all, I need a management in place. I can, I'm just the MD. I need a team of managers that will make sure that this money goes far and goes deep. So, you know, so for a long time, I rejected any, because when people give you money, they start expecting fast results.
Right, of course.
And I was like, no, I don't need just money. I need equity and management. Right. You know, that's what I would tell people.
Right.
So now I have a management company.
Okay.
That is, they just started this year.
Okay.
You know, let me, we did a test run in December.
Okay.
And they're just, they're equally as passionate about the result. Because, you know, running this kind of industry, you need passion.
Right.
It's not just, I can make money from this.
Right.
Because you are dealing with people. People are vulnerable. They are coming. They are trusting you with their lives.
Right.
You know, they want to be comfortable. They want to be happy.
Right.
They want to come. So Whispering Palms is almost like our regulars. Our regular.
It's a home away from home.
It's a family.
Right.
You know, they want to entrust their children. They want to know that I'm in the room sleeping and my children
are playing, and they're fine.
And they're fine. You know. So now we have the management in place, and we're now looking at how much. All these things, they're going to cost money. All these things are going to cost, and then we'll know how much we actually need. I'm not one for taking money when I don't need it. And I'm not one for also just putting figures up there. So we're actually calculating right now how much we need to make it like a world-class destination where somebody will come into Nigeria and say, I came to Nigeria because I'm going to Whispering Palms.
Mm, good luck with that. We've got Chris from Ghana who says, Whispering Palms holds fond memories for me pre-COVID. Coming into Lagos or leaving to Accra, we spend a day or two there. My daughters do a lot of sandcastles there and we visit the Badagry slave routes and other tourist sites in Badagry using Palms as our base. Please encourage the manager to persevere despite the challenges. It's a strategic resort along the West Africa corridor. She shouldn't let that her dad's dream die in her hands. Only the Lagos end of the Lagos Abidjan route is bad. Let's be hopeful it will come good soon. All right.
Thank you.
We've got a message here from Damoye who says, hello, Sandra. Contribution to resort management. Encourage your guests to fully invest in the solar energy as an alternative power source. Resort businesses using generators as their main power source are bound to run out of business sooner than expected. I visited a resort in Ibejuleki recently for 3 days and was dumbfounded with the cost of their energy expenses and maintenance of generators. She should please embrace the solar energy in order for the business to thrive and focus on other activities to make them a preferred resort choice for Nigerians and all. Generator and PHCN as a source of energy is a scam. All right, Damoye, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Very encouraging. We are on the right track. That's what it proves.
Okay. 99.3, hello. Thanks for calling. What's your name? Hello, are you there? Oh, sorry about that. Join the conversation 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Now, there's probably somebody who's listening to the show, and Balogun Broad is a blueprint of sorts for my listeners. And they're like, oh, this is something that I would like to go into. I have a bunch of land somewhere. I could build a house and, you know, start a resort of my own. What advice would you offer them? How much money would they need? She laughs.
A lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I would even say, if I was going to say how much money would you need, I wouldn't even use Naira.
Yeah.
I would dollarize it because, you know, if you say the amount in Naira, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, but apart from the land, I would say you need to know what your unique selling points would be. Why would people want to come to your resort? What are you offering them? So it's more than just having the land and having the buildings. I have seen places that are beautiful. You know, they are well built. They are they have state of the art facilities. But I will tell you, in the hospitality industry, if you have all that and you don't have the right people, it's going to fail. You have to have the right people. And when I say people, hospitable people. And then the culture. You know, what is the culture? Like I said, for us at Whispering Palms, we want you to treat Whispering Palms like your home. We want you to wander into the dining room, even in your PJs if you want, you know, and just sit down and be at home. And that is how it is. You know, when people come, you see them in all sorts of, you know, they're just at home. You know, and that is what, you know, you want. So you want to know what people are looking for. And, you know, if you can meet that need and fill that gap. Like I said, our focus is families. We do get a lot of corporate retreats as well. People that want to get away from Lagos and just, you know, have a unique time together, bonded without interference from the city and the city noise. So we've had very successful corporate retreats. We've had schools come to camp. You know, they bring their tents and everything. They make their food. So we've had that as well. And the kids have really had a wonderful time. So like I said, Whispering Palms is for everybody.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mimi, for joining us on Balogun Broad today. She's the MD at Whispering Palms, and she's spoken so much about what they do, why they do what they do, the challenges of doing what they do. And she's told you how to get involved if you want to get into the resort business. But stick around. I'm still here from 6:15, more talk coming your way on your number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. The news is up next. And when that is done, you and I will keep talking right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.